All right, so the Prime Minister's much anticipated address at the Summit of the Future is over. It was 5 minutes long, and the Prime Minister's big message has been that collective strength doesn't lie on battlefield. That's a message to the warring nations. He also said that reform is key to relevance. Prime Minister Modi talking about global action must match global ambition. He also said that digital public infrastructure should be a bridge, not a barrier. Went on to say that that our collective strength doesn't lie on battlefield. So, Vishnu Shom, your big takeaway, of course, it's a very, very brief speech, but something that certainly gives clear picture of how India sees future.
And not just India, I think this has been the Prime Minister's personal vision when he talks about one earth, one world, one people. He talks about how, the planet has to work together when it comes to issues such as climate. You cannot be operating as a result of silos. I think I heard him use the words one grid, and I don't know what grid he was referring to. But if it is the sharing of power and resources, then that's certainly something that is very, very important. Let's bring in Ambassador Manjeev Puri, who joins us at this stage. Ambassador, the context of the Prime Minister's short address at the United Nations was linked to the relevance of the United Nations in its present form. That's the basic focus. Is it relevant in its present form, or do you need to have this conference to perhaps have an idea of what the UN can do in the future?
Vishnu, thank you very much, and I'm delighted to see you standing in Manhattan. To you and Maria, let me say the point. The first and important thing is that the Honorable Prime Minister stressed that multilateralism and the UN is important, but it's in dire need of reform. And that's something that India has been stressing, and he pointed it out. Why is that the case? Because the world has changed from 1945. Today, we are the world's largest country, the fifth largest economy, certainly going to be the third largest economy. Our voice matters. And what we are saying is, let's work collectively. This is not a time for war. It's a time for peace. We have huge challenges, planetary challenges, sustainability challenges, challenges of poverty and hunger. And the world needs the United Nations, but it also needs reform. That's the big message that he gave. Secondly, act collectively. I think that was particularly important too. And stressing the fact that, let's come together for the one earth, one family, and one future. This is exactly what we've been saying from the times of the G20, which we chaired. So these are very important elements. And before I close, I want to make one small point. The stress on the technology pact, the global public infrastructure. Look, these are clearly what India has done, what India has offered to the world, and what were recognized at the G20. So, this was a very important place, a global platform, for us to be able to put across this point that technology needs to be harnessed for human good and for development across the entire world, and we should collaborate for that. Very important we were able to make our point strongly and cogently.
Arun Sharma joins us as well. Thanks, Mr. Sharma, very much for being with us. There were themes which actually came about as key issues which this particular summit is looking at, which are really important. No one thought that the United Nations would be discussing this. Make the online space safe for all, especially children, through actions by governments, tech companies, and social media. Govern artificial intelligence with a roadmap that includes an international scientific panel and a global policy dialogue on AI. These are themes which you never really associated with the United Nations. But it seems that in an integrated world, a world which is brought together by social media, on themes which affect not just nations, but children, youngsters, people who are vulnerable in so many different ways, it's these conversations which will now form an important part of what the United Nations does.
Yes, and I think it's quite fortunate and welcome that the United Nations, as an institution of multilateralism founded in the context of war, is changing in the context of peace, hopefully for the future. The needs right now are, unfortunately, of course, to continue to contain the crisis and the difficulties we have, but hopefully these will remain isolated. They will hopefully be contained and hopefully resolved. But on bigger problems which should be the central narrative of the UN, are the challenges of humanity together, which are both daunting, but at the same time, our capacity to address them through the technology capabilities, the AI capabilities, but most importantly, the ability of countries to collaborate at a level like never before is very promising and comforting. The other very important point that the Honorable Prime Minister made is the world has changed not only politically, but technologically, economically, and in terms of global participation of countries at the world stage. It used to be a limited number of countries that ran the world agenda, so to speak, set the agenda and executed on it. It's now much more a multipolar world where countries are not simply saying we need a voice. We are saying we have the capability to contribute. You know, the voice discussion is quite old, even up to the 70s with the North-South dialogue. But what is new now, and which is what Honorable Prime Minister is pointing out very correctly, is that now there is tangible value coming from the Global South, led by countries like India, particularly India. And that's the something that the world has to take notice.
Ambassador Puri,
if it really wants to
Mr.
benefit...
Mr. Sharma, just give me half a second. Let me quickly keep the strike rotating. Let me go across to Ambassador Puri. Technology as an enabler, this is not new to what India has been saying. We've been saying it repeatedly at the G20. In the past, people would sell technology. People would sell the experience. People would charge for getting or transferring technology which results in a digital backbone. India is doing it free. How significant is that as a foreign policy initiative?
Vishnu, thank you very much. And I'm delighted to see Mr. Arun Sharma there. Let me say something to you on technology. You know, this is the new India. Isn't it what we've been doing for our people? Making technology, harnessing it, and making it available for global good within the country and offering it to the rest of the world. Now, I want to make a little point to you. The senior officer at the United Nations who pivots the technology aspect at the UN, and while this may not attract the kind of attention that War and Peace does, it's very important. It's from India, a member of the Indian Foreign Service. So, you know, our hand is very much there. And we want to bring this forward. Vishnu, I want to remind everyone that there's been perhaps one major example a long time back when global organizations came together in the field of agriculture and looked at revolutionizing agriculture. We saw the benefits of that in terms of the Green Revolution. Since then, IPRs have needed to be harnessed for corporate good and corporate well-being and, may I say, corporate profit. We're trying to change that narrative and say technology needs to be harnessed for global good. Come together, collaborate, look at the examples, take this forward. And who better, which other country other than India, which has contributed on the corporate side in terms of its excellent people who've done it, but in terms of what we've done within the country. Look at the India Stack, the Aadhaar, what we did in times of COVID, and all of those. So, you know, we not only make the point, but we are able to tell people, look, we've done it on the ground. We are able to demonstrate it. And here is a hand and offering. Let's take this forward. The United Nations is a platform which needs to deal not just with issues of war, but also with issues of peace and development. And indeed, they have always been important there. They may not be hogging the headlines, but they are pretty important. And we need to stress and work on them.
You know, Mr. Sharma and Ambassador Puri, I'm just going to go through why this particular summit of the futures is one of the most profound summits that the United Nations has had. Because here's the scope of it. Peace and security, sustainable development, climate change, digital cooperation, human rights, gender, youth and future generations, and the transformation of global governance. You know, this is a new United Nations for a new world. Ambassador Sharma, a part of that, when it comes to global governance, has also to do with the structure of the UN Security Council. Now, India has been saying ad nauseum for decades that let's get real, we're the largest democracy in the world. We are now the most populous democracy, a nation in the world. We are also a nuclear power. Why on earth are we not a member of the UN Security Council. Is there any viable reason, other than China's veto, to exclude India?
Well, you know, this is a decision really for the current members, the permanent members, to consider very seriously. Because as also Honorable Foreign Minister said yesterday at the UN, that this situation is untenable and it will be challenged. And already challenges are emerging through other groupings like the BRICS, for example, which is a direct response to the desire of those countries that have been excluded from setting the agenda in the right way, to essentially saying, well, we will need to have alternative solutions. I think it's very important for the UN as a relevant organization that can impact the world to be cognizant of the shifted realities of the global polity right now and to give the voice to where it belongs in a more equitable and transparent manner. And hopefully, the narrative will shift in that direction in the coming years. The other very important aspect of the current situation is that we are confronted with examples of what will go bad and what can do well at the same time. So we have very critical security situations around us, facing us in Gaza and Ukraine, and indeed other places. On the other hand, we have the promise of technology, the promise of, I would say, very inexpensive and transferable technologies that India has offered and that are relevant to the world, and many other opportunities around climate action and many other, I would say, positive developments that are within our grasp. So it is for us to take that moment as a world and the UN as a platform in order to remain the primary channel for doing so, really has to respond to the voices of its members, not only the founding members, but I would say the global polity as is incorporating both the global north and the global south in a transparent, equitable, and fair manner for this whole process to succeed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ambassador Puri, take that thought forward. You know, the Prime Minister there has sent multiple messages. First in Quad, he said that Quad is here to stay, a message to China. Then right now in this summit of the future, a message coming to the warring countries, you know. Be it, you know, the number of wars that are ongoing even as we speak. The message is that our collective strength doesn't lie on battlefield. Do you think it becomes important, particularly at a time when there have been enough signals coming from the Russians, that India can play that role of the peacemaker?
Maria, let's understand one point quite clearly. India is a rising, not just rising, let me say, it's a power which is there for the world to now reckon. We are, the largest country in the world in terms of population, the fifth largest economy becoming the third. We were chairing the G20 last. Therefore, we are a voice of consequence, a country of interest to people, and a country that has a certain role. In specific instances, especially when superpowers are involved, you know, it's difficult to talk in terms of that. But certainly the point that you need to do something, and the collective of the United Nations, its convening power, etc., should do something. You know, let's not forget that in a very broad sense, the critical aim of the United Nations when formed in 1945 was to prevent a catastrophic World War III. That hasn't happened. But why are we having wars continuously in a year which is 80 years from that particular happening? What should we do about it? And why do we still have the ravages of poverty, climate change, sustainability lacking, and all of that? So these are particularly important. And I think the entire focus of this visit, if we look at it, the meetings at the Quad, the bilateral meeting, that was important. But the address of the future summit is also about underscoring, and the world understands that quite well, the fact that India is a large and hugely consequential player in the world, and the world is recognizing this. The rest of it, let me tell you, you have a chance or not, whatever we may say. We think that there is an immediate need for reform. But you know, the way the structure is formed, finally, the people who are in it today, who are inside the tent, they need to feel that changing the structure would be better for them, because otherwise the people outside would make the structure untenable, not particularly relevant. I don't think the time is really there right now, but the time is coming. And of that, there should be no doubt about it. And we are an obvious candidate for being brought, as they say, inside the table.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Sharma, you know, what I think is an important development. Yesterday, we've had the Prime Minister in a bilateral meeting, meeting the President of Palestine, Mahmoud Abbas. The fact that we are such close strategic partners of Israel, and yet we want to ensure that there is a peace process, the Prime Minister referring to the appalling humanitarian situation on the ground in Gaza. You know, that's certainly something that Tel Aviv would take notice of. How significant was this particular meeting, and what message, what signal does it?
No, the very fact that in this difficult situation, Honorable Prime Minister met President Abbas is significant by itself. It sends a clear message of our neutrality, and but most more than neutrality, our active, I would say, propagation of the peace process. As you know, Honorable PM went to Russia and went to Ukraine. Again, it is that same ability of and the position that India has as a potential maker and intermediator of world peace that the Prime Minister is conveying, and I think it's very important for the world to take notice. I mean, India is a representative of thousands of years of living in amity with a range of diverse views, diverse cultures, diverse languages, and I think is an example for humanity to follow. And I think there is no more important moment than today for the recognition to take place. On top of that, I think given India's resources to not only help in the peace process, but help in the reconstruction process of all these very difficult situations, I think must be taken more seriously and recognized by the world community. And I think they should, all of us should be able to take that opportunity that Honorable Prime Minister has offered by, through this process. As you know, there's a long historical relationship between Palestine and India, going back many, many centuries, I would say. And there is a long relationship with Israel as well. And that's a very unique position to be in. And I think both parties respect that. And I think we should find a way for that mutual respect across all sides in very difficult positions with each other to take advantage of this offer and make something tangible happen, as Ambassador Puri was saying.
All right, Mr. Sharma, I'm going to take a short break at this stage and come back with the very latest. The Prime Minister has spoken in the United Nations General Assembly at the summit for the future. It is a very important summit which looks at the future of the United Nations itself and international institutions on themes which are relevant now and exist now and perhaps didn't exist in quite the same way in the past. We're going to take a short break, come back with the very latest.